Hey Nick, the tree's going up. Isn't that great?
I love it. Christmas time, get in the holiday spirit.
All right, so you clearly do not work anywhere in the vicinity of the tree, right?
I'm also clearly not a Grinch.
Adam, I can't go out for dinner for a month and a half once this thing gets lit. It's awful.
I'm with you, Brian. I can't go out for lunch. It's impossible to walk around here.
Hit the music.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
All right, welcome to the show. We're going to speak with Jeff Marek from Sportsnet in just a few minutes. We're also going to discuss Sam Rosen finally going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Adam, the Rangers just keep on rolling.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit surprised.
Why is that?
Because I think that the game that they played in Calgary was the best game they've played in about 2 weeks. And they've just been winning. They've continued to capitalize on all of their chances and, you know, get good goaltending, which is, I guess, how you win. But they're, you know, they haven't had the puck as much as they did earlier in the year.
Speaking of capitalizing on their chances, Nick, Michael Grabner, this is absolutely ridiculous. 10 goals.
You
now.
Know, it really is unbelievable, Brian. I feel like we could just replay the last three podcasts now and everything that we've said about him, because we're going to go into how you, if you told me he has 10 goals by the new year, would any of us be surprised? And the answer is no. But at what point do you stop doubting him? I mean, he gets, like you said, capitalizing on chances. He gets one game on the first line and he scores two goals.
He's one of
he's scoring them in different ways.
And he's one of six Rangers who have scored at least 10 goals in the first 16 games of a season since 2005-2006. You ready for the others? Jaromir Jagr, Brendan Shanahan, Marian Gaborik, Rick Nash, and who?
Brandon Dubinsky.
Brandon, I do not have any recollection of this whatsoever.
Neither do I. I remember all of the other guys very well, but Brandon, I'm like trying to play that season back in my head. I'm like
2010-11, so Nick was like, what, seven? How old were you then?
No, take it easy.
Do you remember that hot start for Brandon Dubinsky?
The only thing I could think is maybe it was the year that Voros was here that we talked about earlier. Was that the year when they started
Voros
in Europe?
Was before that, right?
No, that was a couple of years before. This was Torts' first, his second full season. This is the year after they missed the playoffs and when they started to block shots like crazy. And I honestly don't remember. This is the year Brian Boyle had 20 goals, I believe. That I remember more than Brandon Dubinsky scoring 10 early on.
Yeah, that I agree with.
What do you think of this? I mean, he's not really going to score 40 goals, is he? I mean, I feel like we're saying the same stuff every week because we're waiting for the wheels to fall off, or at least for Grabner to slow down a little bit. But this is unbelievable.
It really is. The one thing I'll say, I was very worried at the end of the Edmonton game because he's been fairly injury prone. He was grimacing quite a bit there, and then they didn't play him the last few shifts when he would have been going for the hat trick, when they had the empty net. He is a defensive specialist, and he was replaced the last shift or two there by Faust and someone else. I thought Vigneault would have thrown him out there to try and get him the hat trick. But, Brian, at this point, I think anything less than 20 would be a disappointment, no?
I'd have to agree with that.
It's tough to say that, but at the pace he's going, 20 is an understatement.
And he's getting top 6 minutes.
He's going to be at, like, 25 goals, and I'm still going to be like, I don't buy it. I don't think it's real. I don't care. I know that he's got 25 goals in 10 games, but I just don't see – like, it's crazy to me. Like, and – I hope he keeps it up. It's hard for me to believe that he will.
I'm with you. The one thing I'm excited about is that it's not just the breakaways. He's scoring in a variety of different ways still. Shots off the rush. He is capitalizing on those breakaways. I mean, for him to stick through on that move that he put on Talbot and finish that one off, that was a goal scorer's goal on a breakaway.
Yeah, and, you know, the offense has been here for the Rangers. They've scored three or more goals, 13 out of 16 games. But you mentioned the goaltending as well, Adam. Antti Raanta, every time he's in there, he performs. Every time.
I was watching him the other night, and I'm thinking, like, he looks like a starting goalie now.
He really does.
He really looks like some, like, I'm afraid, like, is Vegas going to take him? Like, you figure there are going to be other goalies ahead of Raanta in the expansion draft, but, like, he looks like a guy who could start for, like, half the teams in the league right now.
I don't know if he's a 60-game guy, but clearly, and we talked about this all summer and, you know, through training camp and everything else, Nick, they've got to find games for him to play there. And now we know for a fact there is absolutely no reason for Lundqvist to play 65 games. There's just none.
No, there's no need to. And Raanta could play. He's better than some of these timeshares that are going on across the NHL. Goalies at this point are like quarterbacks in the NFL, where they're few and far between when it comes to the elite of the elite. And then every other team is trying to mix and match and find their way through and who gets hot for a year. It would not surprise me if Raanta ended up getting a chance down the line, whether the Rangers trade him in the offseason to a team that you know, overpays for him because they want to give him a shot as a starter. But the guy is good. He can play, and he's clearly proven himself for years now, really, as one of the best backups in the NHL.
Adam, what did you think of Adam Clandetting not getting a shift?
I thought it was really weird. Like, you can't even just throw him on. Like, I get that, obviously, he didn't have, like, a pregame warm-up. He was obviously not thinking he was going to play, and there's probably a mental state kind of thing. But, like, he can't go on in the middle of the second period for one shift. Like, I get that they were holding him for the power play, but, like, you can't just give Dan Girardi one shift off. Like, you feel that's going to cause you to lose the game?
I wasn't that upset with it, Brian. I must say, I mean,
it's just bizarre.
It was bizarre, but he was dressed late, and then once you go the first period and the guy still didn't take a pregame warm-up, at what point is what is throwing him in ice cold going to do? Yeah, it would have been nice to give Girardi a shift or two off and spare one or two guys, but then you might knock them out of their rhythm. It's playing with seven defensemen, if it's not one of those guys that you're putting on the fourth line wing or something like that to keep them fresh once in a while, it's a weird mix for a head coach. So I wasn't upset that Alain Vigneault didn't give him a shift throughout the game.
Yeah, and the strangest part for me was before the game, I'm like, why is Dan Girardi playing again? I mean, they have depth here. There's no reason to play him back-to-back. You got to worry about playoff time, and you want Girardi to be somewhat fresh. And then, of course, Girardi scores a goal. But AV said after the game, Clendenning was only going to play if we got a power play. We didn't get a power play.
It was weird to me that, like, you couldn't put him on the fourth line for a couple of right. shifts. You couldn't stop double shifting one of the top nine forwards, like, once or twice. What's the worst thing that can happen? At best, you have a third defenseman on the ice. Like, at worst, he's just a guy on the ice. Like, there was no downside to playing him at forward, I didn't think.
Very bizarre. The Rangers wrap up their road trip in Vancouver Tuesday night. We're not going to get into that game. We're recording this Tuesday morning, but can they? I mean, we keep asking ourselves, can they sustain this? They are so fast. The goaltending is good. The defense is holding up. I think Grabner at some point will slow down a little bit, but there's still so much there up front that there's no reason to think that they can't sustain this.
I think that the number one thing that would hurt them would be the number one thing that would hurt anyone, which would be injuries.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're dealing with a couple now with Kreider and Buchnevich. But, you know, I think that the combination of injuries versus at some point, they're going to have to go three or four games only scoring one or two goals and then seeing how all of that meshes together. But I think that it almost seems like they're a lock for the playoffs now.
You have to think so.
And, you know, from there, who knows? It's way too early to start thinking about how far they could go in the playoffs. But, you know, they've definitely overachieved, I think, compared to what any of us thought they would do so far this year.
Yeah, and Nick, you know, we thought before the season started the Metro would ultimately come down to either Pittsburgh or Washington, but the Rangers are in this. I think they're every bit as good as these other two top teams in the division.
I agree, Brian. They really made it a three-horse race by getting out of the gate like this. And Edmonton's a very good team. They beat Edmonton without two top six forwards, one of them being last minute, playing essentially down a man when push came to shove because Clendenning didn't play, and with their backup goalie on the road on the second half of a back-to-back. That is the sign of a very, very good hockey team, and we're starting to see that. Like you guys said, I agree with Adam that the injuries here would be the one thing that can slow them down. But right now, I mean, everybody's going, and I was looking through some stats to try and find some underlying numbers here, and one thing that jumped out to me was Rick Nash leading the team in shots, and I think that's a good sign.
That's a great sign, yeah.
Nash has been going, and you want him shooting the puck, and Zuccarello was third. He's one of those guys who we always thought passed too much. He's shooting the puck, so outside of Grabner, are there any really big shocks? Miller and Hayes maybe, I think, are exceeding what I would have said would be a good year for them? Or are they out a little bit ahead of a pace that I think would be a good year? Yes, but was it out of the realm of possibility for them to be this good of players in the NHL? No. So really, as long as the offense can keep the forecheck going and keep the puck out of the defensive zone and games don't come down to their defense winning it, I really like what they're doing. And a guy that we haven't even touched on is Henrik Lundqvist, and his numbers have started to creep up into the top 10 as far as goalies go.
Yeah, everything's clicking. We have Jeff on the phone. Jeff, Brian and Nick, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well. August 4th, 1979, Maple Leaf Gardens, my first concert ever, the Dynasty Tour.
Yes, ah, I love it.
About, right, Brian?
You have an open invite to come on the show whenever you want. That is fantastic.
I couldn't resist. How you doing today, boys?
We're doing great. Thanks for coming on, Jeff. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It's impossible not to buy into this hockey team right now, right?
It's fun. I'm not sure they're as good as they look right now. I mean, watching them take apart the Calgary Flames on Saturday was spectacular. Watching them do something almost identical the next day to the Edmonton Oilers was something to marvel as well. I'm just not there yet, guys.
Okay.
I love this team. They're a lot of fun to watch. I'm a huge fan of Alain Vigneault. But when I go and I look at the shooting percentages of every player on this team, and you think to yourself, last year the average shooting percentage is 8.9, and everyone on this team is between 15 and 20, I say to myself, this isn't going to stay like this forever, is it?
We say that every week.
It's funny, too, because, you know, I keep betting against Conor McGregor in the UFC as well, and I've lost a lot of money so far. And last Saturday at MSG was another example of me losing money betting on Conor McGregor, so maybe I should just shut up about the New York Rangers at this point.
Jeff, what's the biggest surprise to you about this team when you look at the roster? Because there are a number of guys. Grabner's got 10 goals. JT Miller's pacing the team in points. Kevin Hayes has been now a two-way player who's winning faceoffs. And Rick Nash almost looks like he's back to Rick Nash on offense.
There's a lot of them. And I'm impressed with all those names that you mentioned as well. I think, you know, the quick start of Mika Zibanejad, I think we've all been waiting for, and certainly anyone that watched the Ottawa Senators for a long time has been waiting for, you know. But maybe to me, the big one, you know, probably has to be Grabner. And the reason why is, and listen, I live in Toronto and watched Michael Grabner play with the Maple Leafs and has watched his career going to the Islanders and the Panthers and Canucks before that. I can't think, guys, of another player who gets more breakaways and can't bury them more so than Michael Grabner.
Jeff, I called him Secretariat's legs with Claude Lapointe's hands. That's who Michael Grabner was.
You know what? It's funny because I've always said about Grabner, red line to red line, he's a great hockey player.
Yeah.
The problem is he can't get the puck over the red line. But from red line to red line, guy is outstanding and the guy flies. He's a wonderful guy. I'm happy that he's seeing the success. You know, is the shooting percentage going to stay up in the low 20s? Probably not, but enjoy it while you have it. To me, the big surprise is Grabner because, listen, guys, I mean, it's a graveyard of teams that have given up on this game. How many teams have said, yeah, you know what, there's a lot of speed there, but there's not much else after that? And that's Vancouver, and that's Florida, and that's the Islanders, and that's Toronto. And I'm glad for that reason he's having the success he's having so far this season.
Yeah, Jeff, before you came on, I was saying to the boys here that they're obviously at some point, I think, Grabner's going to slow down a little bit. He's not going to score 40 goals. But, you know, there's still enough here, even when that does happen. Jimmy Vesey's been really good. Kevin Hayes has been outstanding in all ends of the ice, which is a great sign. Nash is playing well. There's a lot up front.
There's a lot up front. And the good thing about and the Peary signing is real nice too, by the
way.
A little heavy shot. The interesting thing to me about the Rangers is, you know, we keep talking about roles having, you know, lines having different roles. You know, everyone on this team scores goals. Like all forward lines score goals. I haven't, you know, run the numbers on it, but maybe you guys can shed some light on this one for me. Is this the highest scoring fourth line in the NHL right now?
Has to be.
It's gotta be, right?
Yeah,
like
it has to be.
When you're getting production so deep in your lineup, the likes of which the Rangers are enjoying up front with their fourth line, you know, you have to say to yourself, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic and a lot of reasons. And it's the new school version of the NHL, right? You know, don't create these clear distinctions of what this line should do and that line should do and the third line's got to do this and here's where we use our fourth line in these situations. You know, at the end of it, maybe hockey's more of a simple game than we give it credit for. Put out the best combination of players that can score more goals than they get scored upon. Pretty simple stuff.
What a concept.
I know, right? I think, how long has the league been around now, guys?
Yeah.
How long did it take us to stumble on this?
You solved it.
Jeff, I'm just a genius. Rubik's Cube is next.
What's your take on this defense? Because that seems to be the big question mark coming into the season. They kind of balanced out a little bit more than I think everybody expected them to. But Mark Stahl and Dan Girardi, who looked like they were buried. I mean, as far as maybe Girardi more than Stahl, people thought they were done. And they're kind of coming back fighting a little bit here now. They're not going to be the players they were, but they definitely look like respectable NHLers at this point.
Here's what I love about Alain Vigneault and what he's done. I mean, fiddlers fiddle and dancers dance. And you look at what you have and you try to maximize the quality. You try to minimize the damage that a lesser player can do to your team. And listen, the Rangers may get burnt out because of this come January. I don't know. But a lot of the heavy lifting, even in the defensive zone, is still done by the forwards. You know, that defense crew isn't relied upon to do a lot of the heavy lifting and get the puck out on their own. This is really a team concept in the defensive zone. And that's a smart thing, right? There's no Erik Karlsson. There's no Drew Doughty. Those guys don't exist on the Rangers' defense. So how does Alain Vigneault compensate? It's a lot of the forwards that come back. You look for the short pass, and then it's the forwards who are responsible to get the puck up in the neutral zone and get the puck up the ice. It's smart, it's wise, and it really does sort of shelter one of the weaker links in the Rangers chain right now. So that goes to coaching. And again, something I said off the top, Alain Vigneault is criminally underappreciated as being an elite level head coach in the NHL, and he probably always has been.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair for sure. Sticking with the D for a second here, Jeff. Last season, we all thought, at least the guys here in the studio, we thought Dan Girardi was done. He just looked slow. He couldn't keep up. Do you think it was a blessing in disguise that the Rangers lost in the first round of the playoffs, just given all the hockey that they played over the past 4 or 5 years?
Specifically, if you're a guy that jumps in front of pucks, which Dan Girardi does. I mean, that's a lot, man. Don't lose the recipe for ice if you're the Rangers trainer, because Girardi's going to need it after the game.
Yeah.
Probably. The guys played a lot of hockey. I mean, if you look at the playoffs going back to, I mean, when did they first start to, put up double digits in playoff dates? 2012, when every year it was like, we're playing 20 games, we're playing 15 games, we're playing 25 games in 2014, and we're going to the Stanley Cup final year. I mean, that's a lot for a player like Dan Girardi. Is he still prone to the big gaff around the net? Yeah. I mean, what's the Kent Wilson line about blocking shots? It's blocking shots is like killing rats. It's preferable to do so, but if you find yourself continually blocking shots, it's sort of indicative of a bigger problem. It's wonderful to do it. We all say these guys are warriors, but if that's what you're doing all the time, you do wonder why you're putting yourself in a position where you have to block shots continually. I think for Dan Girardi's health, the point that you just made is a good one. Not being in the playoffs, I guess only playing a couple of games last year, Girardi, only playing a couple of games in the playoffs last year probably really helped his body.
So what's your take on this team right now, Jeff? Where do they stack up in the NHL? Can they give the Penguins and the Capitals a run for their money, or is this just a little bit of a mirage and they're going to be more of the 5, 6, 7 seed that I think people thought of the high end of the Rangers this year if they even got there?
Yeah, I kind of saw them scrambling to make it into the playoffs. I thought this was going to be, when you looked at what they were trying to do with this team, to me it looked like it was going to be that one step backwards for two steps forward. This is the beginning of the rebuild. You saw it with the Brassard trade to bring in Mika Zibanejad, and you saw, they're not going to let go of first-round picks anymore. Brady Shea is in there, and they're hanging on to their first-rounders, and they're drafting, and they're developing, and they want to go that route, sort of restock the cupboard that are relatively bare right now in the Rangers organization. I hate doing analysis 15 games in and projecting, because we still don't have a long enough sample. I hope that they can hang at the elite level, because, listen, man, what I've seen from the Rangers, and you guys are right there and you watch it a lot closer than I do, they're just a flat-out fun team to watch.
Yeah, they are.
They're fast, they're quick, they move the puck fast. Now, Elliot Friedman was pointing out on Hockey Night on Saturday how quickly the pucks come off the sticks. Like, there's no, like, grab the puck, wait, pivot your body, make a decision. The puck's on your stick, and boom, it's off really quickly. It is a fun team to watch. They move the puck fast. They do that. The Rangers were one of the first to really popularize this, and we saw the Penguins do it all the way to a Stanley Cup last year, do that area pass where you just lob it in front of the left winger and create a foot speed battle. You know, this is when, you know, that left side for the Rangers had, you know, Kreider's still there, but they had Kreider, they had Hagel, and they would just destroy defenses around the NHL. Yeah. This is a fun team, man, and I hope they can hang. This is where sports has that conflict between what your head thinks and what your heart wants to believe. And I really want to believe that the Rangers are this good, and I really want this to continue because, you know, who doesn't like watching hockey like this? But my head is telling me, don't put your hand in the trap. Don't try to grab the cheese. So I'm going to still take that a little bit more of a wait-and-see approach on the Rangers, with the caveat being, you know, damn it, this is just flat-out fun to watch right now.
You got that right, my friend. Jeff, great stuff, man. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we can have you on again soon.
August 4th, 1979. Jeff,
yeah, baby.
Concert. Went with my dad and my sister, the Dynasty Tour, and a band called New England opened up, and I had only heard of them that one day, and I never, ever found out whatever happened to the opening band. Because I remember asking my dad, this isn't Kiss. And he said, no, this is the opening band. So if anyone knows where the band New England ever ended up, they almost scarred me for life.
Yeah,
I thought Kiss was coming on stage, and it was New England instead.
I will Google that as soon as we get off the air here.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, boys.
Be well. Thanks, man. Jeff Marek from Sportsnet does a terrific job. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Marek. He hit the nail on the head. Let's wait and see a little bit. Let's not get too excited, but boy, oh boy, are they fun to watch.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's just been a total shock in a way of what was expected versus what they are now that I think has really got people excited. If they had kind of lost a couple of more games, I think people would have a bit of a different taste. But, you know, they're winning, they're scoring. Everyone's excited, but we know that it's a long season.
Nick, you know who's not winning and not scoring? The other team across town. It's bad.
The Islanders.
It is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the locker room Monday night. It is a bad scene right now.
You would think Capuano, I mean, at some point they just got to pull the plug, right, and try and spark anything.
You would think.
Something.
Mike Carver and I will discuss that on this week's Islanders Point Blank Podcast. We're going to get into Jack Capuano, his future, what it might hold, what it might not hold, how badly this team is playing right now. Subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point Blank Podcast along with this show and the rest of our original podcast. Back to the good team in town and their Hall of Fame announcer. Finally, the waiting is over. This one will last a lifetime. Sam Rosen, congrats to one of the all-time greats.
He is the voice of the New York.
He is the New York Rangers
for over 30 years. That, like, he's spanned generations. You think about the players that he's, the teams, just, it's crazy. He's more than deserving of this. I've been waiting kind of for it to happen once I kind of knew what this award was the past few years, and I think it's a really great honor for him.
Now, I must say, Sam's the guy who made me fall in love with the game of hockey. When you talk about growing up as a little kid and watching those Ranger games and his voice, it's synonymous with New York Rangers hockey. I mean, you watch a Rangers game with any other voice, and it's just not the same. You, as someone who grew up only knowing Sam Rosen, that's the voice that you long for almost when you watch Ranger games, and it really is something special to see him get honored like this.
Obviously, 94 stands out. I mean, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's the first memory that comes to every Ranger fan's mind when it comes to Sam Rosen. For me, number two. I think it was 1990. It was 90 or 91. They played the Islanders in the first round of the playoffs. And James Patrick and Chris Nyland collided with Pat LaFontaine and knocked him out cold. He was carried. He left. LaFontaine left the garden in an ambulance. It was bad. At the end of the game, Al Arbor sent out Mick Fakoda, Ken Baumgartner, like three other goons, and they just went nuts on guys like Jeff Blumberg, who was a born-again Christian and like was a pacifist, and Sam Rosen just went ballistic. Look at Fakoda, what a jerk! This makes me sick. This is disgusting. I was cracking up laughing because you try to be objective, obviously. That's the number one goal when you're an announcer, but Sam Rosen just lost his mind. It was hilarious.
Objectivity and Sam Rosen have they've straddled the line at times, and I think that Sam is very truthful about the Rangers. When they're good, he's really excited. When they were bad, and they were bad for 7 years, he was, you know, as honest as he could be.
Sure.
In the way that he could keep his job.
He's just the best. I mean, I don't know how many other good things I could say about him. I love it's a power play goal. That's one of my favorite calls in all of sports. Yep.
And you know what? Yep. And Sam would be the first guy to admit this, too. He's been very lucky to work with such unbelievable color analysts, whether it's Joe Micheletti, John Davidson was here forever. He's been very fortunate, and I'm sure that he would admit that those guys have made him better as well.
That whole MSG crew,
you include
Al, they've all been there.
Yeah.
Obviously, JD left, you know, over 10 years ago, but Joe's been there since. And, you know, they lost the best guy, and they brought in probably the second best guy. And, you know, Sam has been very fortunate, as you said, to work with this crew.
He makes broadcast fun, doesn't he, Nick? You're a play-by-play guy with your lacrosse and other high school sports, right? He got you into this stuff, right?
He really did. I mean, that's the one guy who I tried. I did play-by-play for Arizona State. I've done it for some USA hockey games and Arizona State hockey, and that's who I modeled myself after. That's what I was getting into before. You know, that was the voice that I grew up with, so that's really the only way that I knew that a hockey game should be called. So in my head, when I'm doing it, I'm trying to sound as much like Sam Rosen and paint the same picture and call the action the same way, because – I mean, other announcers just don't compare. Watching hockey in Arizona and some of these national broadcasts, like obviously Doc is incredible as well, and he's right up there. But I would put Sam Wright and Doc's class as the 1-2 as far as being the class of the NHL when it comes to hockey announcers.
Yeah, congrats to Sam Rosen. Very well deserved. Long overdue, if you ask me. Fellas, great show. We'll see you next week.
Can't wait.
Thanks again to Jeff Merrick. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you next week.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.